We are back on the local beat, albeit a day later than usual here on WEOL as we go to the hotline for the local beat brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. And it is the one and only Dave O'Brien who joins us here this morning. Dave, how are you doing, sir?
We're good. Thanks, Rocco.
Fantastic, Dave. Let's start with a couple of stories from our colleague Carissa Wojtek over there at the Chronicle-Telegram. She had a couple of good ones in Wednesday's Chronicle. And this first one regarding residents in the Amherst School District. Come ballot time this November, those folks could be a little busier with things that they're seeing on the ballot. Dave, what's this all about?
Yeah, well, right now the voters in the Amherst School District are paying a 2 mil levy, first passed 40 years ago, 1983. It was made continuous in 2013. Brings in about $730,000 every year, but that's entirely based on 1983 property values, and so now it collects only about half of what the that prior millage could potentially bring in. So what the Amherst School District is planning to do is to increase the levy by half a mil, by 0.5 mils, and that 2.5 mil replacement levy that they want to put on the ballot in November would bring in about $1.7 million annually. So about $1 million more, give or take, if it goes on the November ballot and if it is passed by voters. Superintendent Mike Molnar telling Carissa, the concept was to find other ways to fund other necessary improvements without always having to go to the voters for a bond issue. If you are the owner of a $100,000 home, you can expect to pay an additional $54 per year if this passes. Currently, those same homeowners pay about $36 per year. So you pay a little bit more depending on the value of your home. Obviously, home value is going up pretty significantly in recent years with the housing market being sort of in a boom where there's not enough housing and a lot of people out there looking for housing. The Amherst School District voters could see this on the ballot this November. And there's some ticketed items that the schools want to have to deal with. The bus garage, its transportation center, has a dirt floor not big enough for the buses that Amherst uses. The district has wanted to replace the facility for several years now, but the estimates on the work have gone up significantly. One of the previous estimates they got was $8 million, and now up to $11 million, with the cost of labor and materials and that kind of thing, all of those things going up, related partially to the pandemic, partially to the housing market, and I'm sure a number of other different things, fuel costs and such things. They also want to resurface the running track, do some work on the athletic department facilities, replace seating at the stadium. The district the debt from the transportation center and other, sort of those other improvements to athletic facilities could take the district 25 to 30 years to pay off using the levies, the replacement levies, additional funding. So, the Board of Education is going to take a vote on this on July 17th. I encourage people, obviously, to show up if they want to have their say in what happens, and putting that replacement and additional levy on the November ballot.
All right, well, we'll circle that July 17th date, and I'm sure we'll return to that here on the local beat, Dave, at some point here in the near future. Again, the Amherst School District Board of Education voting on July 17th as to whether they'll be putting that replacement and additional levy on the November ballot or not. So great breakdown from you and a great write-up from Carissa Wojtek. Encourage our listeners to go check that out. That was in Wednesday's Chronicle-Telegram. Another one in Wednesday's CT from Carissa. Dave, this one's pretty cool, and I know when we think about drones, right, we think about, I guess the Trevor Bauer incident for me and you, right? Big Guardians fans back in 2016, he's slicing his finger open, and we know people love to get their hands on the drones and take cool shots and different things like that with the cameras that are on here. But one young man from Wellington, he's changing the game with his drones, albeit in the agriculture department. What the heck is going on here, Dave?
Yeah, this is really neat. Ethan Moore saw a need for something, that turned from a hobby into a business for him. He's currently working in the ICU at Mercy Health Lorraine as an ICU nurse. But he also owns and operates Lake Erie Drone, which is the first registered agricultural drone service provider in the county. Looking at farmers' fields. Looking into spraying, looking into doing all sorts of things, bringing high technology to agriculture. basically. And he said, you know, he's been to a bunch of different, industry events. It all kind of started when he was a student in film class at Wellington High School, and there was an online community of drone builders. And Moore said that he went to his film teacher, pitched the idea of building a drone with a camera on it for the class to, you know, film scenes with and everything. They ordered a bunch of parts. Now he's got a, you know, nearly $50,000 drone that, you know, he decided, well, you know, I could use this to help out some farmers. He went to a conference in Las Vegas, met a guy who owns a company called AgriSpray, and was kind of, you know, interested in how drones are being used to help rural America. You know, he said to Carissa, quote, we have to see an issue, recognize there's a problem, and brainstorm critically, think what's influencing this level and what we can do to fix it. So who hasn't been exposed to the problem of how expensive food has gotten, right? Well, costs have gone up in food as well, you know, kind of, you know, relating back to the previous story as well. You know, beef got expenses. There's prices in, you know, labor, chemicals, water costs more. All of that's affecting farmers. If there's a way that his DJI T40 drone, which required him to get a pilot's license, exemptions from the FAA, you know, he had to become exempt from putting a seatbelt on the aircraft because drones are aircraft under FAA regulations. But he's getting ready to survey fields, spray pesticides or fungicides. You know, you can drop cover crops from this drone. It's not as fast as a crop duster. You know, looking first at smaller fields, but he's trying to get in there and give a price that's sort of comparable to in price for what you might pay a crop duster to fly over your field and do about 30 acres an hour with his drone. You know, dropping things or taking photos, taking video. Just basically trying to find a way to use high tech in order to help out some of these farmers. And, you know, there's limits to traditional machinery, limits to, you know, more high technology machinery, you know, fuel and batteries and things like that. But there's a lot of excitement, according to an agronomic studies professor at Ohio State University, Elizabeth Hawkins, that who also spoke with Carissa, and who basically said that the real interest here is in cover crops. That's sort of where the most excitement is. If you have to wait until you've already gotten crops off the field, you know, it can make a big difference, you know, in a couple weeks, you know, to basically be able to drop these, you know, to plant these cover crops to help out your soil and help out your fields, you know, in that interim time. So it's really kind of interesting. It's a fascinating way to use that high technology to help, a many, many years old business, which is agriculture, feeds everybody.
And it's just, what's most incredible, I think, to me is not even just with the drones and the different things that he's able to do with that drone, the fact that he's doing all of this on top of being an ICU nurse. I mean, where does one find the time to continue to try and help people in a completely different field, but albeit one that he is clearly very passionate about? So I think the future is very bright for Mr. Ethan Moore with his drone work, helping out the different local farmers, getting some of those smaller farmers involved with his work, and really trying to take this thing to the next level. Very, very cool. And I know his website, Lake Erie Drone. I was poking around there earlier today. Very cool stuff. So awesome work that Ethan Moore is doing. We got a fantastic young man from Wellington High School and a great write-up by Carissa Wojtek. Again, this was in Wednesday's Chronicle Telegram. We are joined, though, this morning by Dave O'Brien from the Chronicle Telegram, a part of the local beat brought to you by Vandermark Jewelers on East Broad Street in Elyria, a trusted name in jewelry. Dave, what are you, Carissa, all your colleagues over there at the CT working on this week as far as upcoming stories go?
Yeah, well, we've had some wild stuff going on in Lorain the past couple of days, and again, you know, Chris is on top of that type of stuff. You know, unfortunately, the police officer appears to have shot a dog, and so there's more coming out, more audio, video, that nature that we're trying to get our hands on to let you know more about that. Unfortunately, a fatal car wreck on the south side of Lorain the other night. So our thoughts are with the family is affected by that. And some fights in Lorain as well, you know, post fireworks the other night for the 4th of July. Also some better news, some nice happy stuff, a little library opening at Oakwood Park. You know, and just some other stuff that Owen and then Chris and myself are working on. Some news out of Columbus with Governor DeWine holding a press conference on the budget, and there's some things in there that might affect Lorain County. So, you know, please stay tuned to ChronicleT.com or read the Chronicle Telegram print edition. Please do, you know, pick up a copy at the newsstand if you can. And, yeah, we'll have more about all those things.
There you go. Pick up a copy of that Chronicle Telegram today or find that digital e-edition online at ChronicleT.com. And I'll self-plug the WEOL Facebook page here. I know our own Craig Adams, our news director, was out there taking some photos yesterday of the little library there at Oakwood Park in Lorain. Very, very cool what that project is doing. It's similar to the one in Lakeview Park that's already there. And I believe Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Saturdays are when they are open. So certainly encourage you to check that out here during the warmer months while the kids are off school or trying to find something to do. Check out that little library. Lots of entertainment and fun to be had there. But again, pick up a copy of that Chronicle Telegram today. All right, Dave, before we let you get out of here, we got to do one of my favorite segments of the week. What have you been hearing on the scanner for this week's scanner story?
Well, we're going to go once again to our friends at Northeast Ohio Scanner on Twitter at @NEO_scan. I encourage you to give them a follow. They pick some of, they pluck some of just the region's most fascinating, interesting, and sometimes tough to read, stories right off of what we hear on scanner traffic. But this one a little goofier, a little more fun here. And for anybody that was stuck in the sheets, 1776 gas lines, $1.77.6 gas lines the other day. We have this scanner story from Brooklyn. A disturbance at the sheets where a petite woman was freaking out because they ran out of cheap gas, so Brooklyn police had to close the entrances until they could get the delivery of more fuel.
Man. Well, if there weren't enough fireworks in the sky for your 4th of July, I guess you could have head to a Sheetz gas station and found some fireworks in the parking lot with some upset customers if that's really the route you wanted to go down. Man, I can't even imagine. Did you have the misfortune of having to drive by one of those places with a line probably wrapped, 50 times around the block, or were you able to avoid most of that nonsense?
I did go and get some 4th of July supplies, and there was a sheet across the street with a line stretched as far as the eye could see down the block, and I'm sure around a corner or two. And I question whether or not, and I don't know, I question whether or not Sheetz officials were talking to local police departments and letting them know that they were planning to do this before they did it. I don't know if that happened. I'm a big fan of Sheetz, not going to lie, but there was an awful lot of demand and maybe not as much of a supply of cheap gas as people wanted on the other day. So, yeah, it was wild to see it in person, and I know I had reports from other friends and colleagues and people who saw all that happen. And what people wouldn't do for $1.77 gas.
Oh, yeah.
The other day, wait in line. I had another friend who said they only waited for 10 minutes and filled up their 20-gallon tank for $22.
Wow.
So.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's incredible. A short wait for them. But you, Dave, like a true patriot, braved the storm and withstood the nightmare that was Sheetz on the 4th of July. So excellent job by you, Dave. An excellent scanner story. And again, for the latest from Dave and all of his colleagues over at the Chronicle Telegram, pick up a copy of that Chronicle Telegram today or find that digital e-edition online at ChronicleT.com. Dave, thank you for the time this morning. As always, my friend, I greatly appreciate it. Have a great rest of the week, and we will catch up some more next week.
Sounds good, Rocco. We'll talk to you then.